Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship. Whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in with us. And we're back in sunny South Florida doing the show this evening live. We've got a great one for you this evening. It's actually part two of our broadcast from last week. So I trust that you will join in with us. And, of course, I want to thank all of you all for tuning in to the archives. It's a very good thing. It's a very good showing that many of you all are tuning in from week to week, and we really appreciate that. All right, we're going to just do almost a reiteration of last week's broadcast by letting you know that we're going to read the story that we shared with you on last week. Many of you all have been asking for the repeat of that story, and you wanted to hear it live. So we will do that for you tonight. We're going to present that to you this evening, which will give you an opportunity to perhaps comment on it. We certainly welcome your thoughts, your expressions. And again, as you listen to the archive shows, feel free to send us an email at online@drjessewalker.com. And we, of course, encourage you to tell someone about the show. We think that you'll find it quite interesting. And there, when it comes to relationships, I can assure you, there's not a couple out there that's not going through something or haven't gone through anything. Perhaps they're now at a point where they're stable in their relationship. So this program is solely designed to, with you, the listener in mind, as you take heed to some of the thoughts, expressions, or views that are expressed on the program from time to time. And, of course, we don't claim to have the answers, but I do feel that with your support, with your thoughts, your expressions, your comments that certainly come into the studio, I believe that we will find an answer that might be suitable for your needs or something that you may be going through with. So continue to stay with us, share it with someone else, and, of course, use it as a forum when you need to express your thoughts. And if you're going through something, certainly you can give us a call. We will be more than happy to entertain some thoughts that you may have on your mind about relationships. Even if it's not something about your own relationship, you may have a friend, you may have a neighbor, you may have a sibling, you may have a son or a daughter or a parent that are, you just see them doing something in a strange or different way. Again, you know, we always tell you that this program is not a substitute for the professional help out there. But certainly, I believe that you may be able to find something that, you know, just might very well be pleasing to your ear. And, of course, you can always send us a comment, and if we don't know the answers, then we can always refer you to where we think you might find an answer. All right, so this program is always free. It has been for the past 4 years, and we have over 500 shows that we've done, and I know that there must be a show out there that's very near and dear to your heart somewhere along the way. So check us out, and, again, tell a friend about us. All right, also, I want you to know that I've got a spiritual publication that comes out every Sunday. It's called Your spiritual publication for your weekly inspirational publication for spiritual enrichment. And again, that is designed to reach your spiritual relationship in order for you to have a spiritual relationship with God or a closer one. That's the purpose of that publication, is to give you an opportunity to have a closer relationship with God. So you may want to take a look at the publication. We will certainly send you out a free copy. All you have to do is go to online, O-N-L-I-N-E, online at drjessewalk.com, online, O-N-L-I-N-E, at Dr. no period, D-E-S-S-E, walker.com, and request a free copy of the publication. And I will send that to you within 24 to 48 hours via internet, online. I will send that to your email. And that's another thing. Please make certain that you include an email address, your email address. Put it there twice, as a matter of fact, so you'll be ensured to have the right email address, because sometimes the email addresses come back and we don't have the right one. So please send us your email address and we will certainly get that out to you. Publication is only $5 a month. It's $5 a month. But again, we will send you a free or complimentary copy just for your asking. We will send you that free copy. And of course, if you decide that you want to order the publication, you can certainly do that by contacting us, and just simply by sending another note to let me know that you would like to subscribe to the monthly publication. All right, and of course, then there's my book, After the Passion, Now What? It's also on sale now for a limited time only. We will get you a set of those books. The set normally retails for $30 a set. It normally retails for $30 a set, and they're on sale now for $15 for the set. That's 50% off, and that's for a limited time only. Once again, they're on sale, and that's for a limited time only. And you can send us an email regarding your detailed information along with the phone number, and we will certainly get in touch with you, or you can certainly request a set of the books online as well. That does not include, if we're going to have to send you out a hard copy, you send $4.95 for shipping and handling. We'll get that to you in the mail. At least it'll go out within 24 to 48 hours. All right, we're going to get ready for tonight's story, which will be a repeat of last week's story. So if you didn't, if you weren't with us last week, this will give you an opportunity to hear tonight's story. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. 347-857-1769. So we're going to be going right in with tonight's story. All right, our characters in tonight's story, once again, as they were on last week, Christopher and Denise. After 11 years of marriage, Christopher and Denise decided to call it quits. A couple who were once inseparable, who made plans about their future, unlike any couple perhaps you've ever seen, have now turned love into hate when it comes to each other. From their marriage comes two young, adorable girls, ages 7 and 9. They have gone through mediation and are now trying to decide on visitation, which is very difficult, partly due to the anger built inside of the both of them. Now, unfortunately, they have not been able to decide on a proper visitation for the children, which may ultimately rest in the hands of the courts. Now, if Denise could have her way, she would love to punish Christopher by not allowing him to see the girls and have another man act as their father. This is only a small fraction of her anger towards the man she once loved uncontrollably. A couple of months have passed since the final divorce hearing, and Christopher has not seen the girls or even called them, which has become overwhelming for the girls, who really adore their father. Now, for some reason, things have not gotten actually that is, for some reason, things have not been going very well for the girls at home or in school, for that matter, which includes hearing constant derogatory remarks from their mother about their father. Now, some of their problems include arguments between the girls at home, disruptive behaviors in school that are unexplained, their grades are dropping in school, constantly being angry, seemingly, at the world, missing their father to the point of feeling it could be their fault with the divorce of their parents. Also, the girls are starting to experience depression, and Denise does not have a clue as to what is going on with them. In spite of the troubles of the girls, Denise insists on not trying to make any special accommodations for Christopher to see the girls in accordance with the court's order. Christopher, on the other hand, is not making any real effort to do his part in trying to see the girls. He feels at this point they will soon be teenagers and things are likely to change, and he will make up for any lost time. What was once a loving and functioning family has now turned into a horrible mess that is bringing more detriment to the children than the good for them. Questions are, and I've got four questions here that we're going to discuss tonight in tonight's broadcast. Question number one, do you really think parents are protecting their children by attempting to disconnect them from the father or mother? Number two, do you think the situation with Christopher and Denise serves in the best interest of the children? Question number three, where do you see the problems going wrong with this couple when it comes to their children? Question number four, if the children are confused now, do you think this is likely to affect them later in life if things don't change? We ask you to please hold on to your seat, your computer, and definitely your phone for the answers perhaps to these questions and much more, which brings us, of course, to tonight's topic, Fatherhood After Divorce, Part 2. Starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. All right. You know, we go to our opening question. Do you really think parents are protecting their children by attempting to disconnect them from the other parents? And that is a very, very good question, I believe. You know, are parents really protecting their children by trying to protect them? You know, you can look at this in any way that you perhaps think, and I think it's doing more harm than good when the parent thinks that they are protecting the child from that other parent but not allowing them to see them. As a matter of fact, I'm certain that it's doing more harm than good. I mean, these kids in this situation, as you can see from the story, there are so many detrimental things that are happening to the children where they're just, I mean, they're just having a difficult time. They're just really having a difficult time. They're having a difficult time at home. They're having a difficult time at school. They're having a difficult time. Even chances are they'll even perhaps have a difficult time with each other because, you know, when things go wrong with the parents in some cases, the children can feel it, especially if it's recognized in the home. And in this case, their mother is just doing a lot of talking in a negative way or a demeaning way. And she's just degrading the father. And in doing so, the children are feeling this. They're feeling like, you know what, she's hurting us. She's, you know, this is what's happening. But unfortunately, she does not see this. The children are suffering as a result of her demeaning the father because this is still a part of them. So as long as she's going to go on with that, then there's going to be problems that these kids have. You know, where we say, well, why is it that the kids can't just fall in line, perhaps like other kids? I believe, and this is, of course, my humble opinion, when you are just tearing one parent down, when you're doing it like this, it is not good, and the kids will not be able to see why things are happening like this. Instead, they will wonder, well, you know what? What did I do? Is this my fault? Did I do something wrong? That's the young mind. They start to think that way. Did I do something wrong? And so, of course, we know that it's not their fault. It's not anything that they've done. It's not anything that they've caused. It's just simply the fact that parents don't always understand, because oftentimes they make it about themselves as opposed to looking out for the best interest of their children when it comes to things like this. So in my humble opinion, and I may speak a great deal to many of you all tonight, my co-host may be joining us a little later, but I am of the opinion that parents don't see this. Because we get so caught up, the parent gets so caught up into their own selfishness that they fail to look out for the best interests of the kid, and they will begin to just shut down thinking that, oh, what's best for the kid is not to see that other parent, whether it's the father or the mother. Let me keep them away from them because they're a bad influence. When, particularly if the father or the mother want to be involved in the children's life, I think that brings a balance for the child. That is what's in the best interest of the child. If the parent is trying to be in their life, and that is really the thing to do. It's already hard enough, I believe, when the kids are living in that single parent situation and they don't have that other biological parent, and therefore a great deal of the stress is placed on that one, parent. Kids sometimes, elementary school, middle school, and maybe even high school, might need something. They may be in need of something, like for a project for work, a project for school, or a project for something. They may be in need of that. And it turns out that 9 or 10 o'clock at night, when the parent, that single parent, is ready for bed, and the kid gets up and says, oh, by the way, Mom or Dad, I forgot to tell you I need a tablet for tomorrow's class. Now, here you've already gotten in bed, and the child comes out and they let you know that they now need something for school the next day. I mean, that becomes very, very difficult for a parent to have to realize and deal with. So when you look at it that way, I mean, it can be a problem. It can be a challenge for them. Now, here's the other thing, and we're going to get to the other questions momentarily. I did want to spend some time on this one, in terms of answering the question, do parents find themselves protecting their children? And absolutely not. I just don't think that they're doing that. If that other parent is abusive in some type of way, of course. You know, that's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different set of circumstances. That's a whole different situation. So, but to answer it directly, I believe that the parents do more harm than good. Last week we talked about this thing. We did part one. And we found that I think some of the same things were resonated throughout part one about, you know, whether the parents do well for the children to protect them or not. And clearly, I can just tell you, no, it doesn't change, in my opinion, of course. All right, we're going to get ready to take on a part two. And as, again, I say, I will spend a great deal of time presenting to you all tonight. We may take one or two comments, but we may not get to do even more than that, because I think that this is very important. If you're just joining us, we're talking about fatherhood after divorce, part two. I encourage you to go in and take a look at part one from last week's show. And tonight's broadcast, once again, is fatherhood part two. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Let's take a look at question number two. Do you think the situation with Christopher and Denise, these are the parents now, do you think the situation with Christopher and Denise serves in the best interest of the children? I think I sort of answered that in part one as well as part two. And again, even in question number one, I think I answered that. And that was, that no. Do you think situation Christopher and Denise serves in the best interest of children? No. If they're keeping it, if one parent is keeping them from that other parent and that other parent desires to see their children, then I say no. That's not in the best interest of the child. You know, and of course, any extenuating circumstance would be if one parent is abusive to the children, then by all means they need to be protected, not just from that, not just from the other parent not letting them see them, but they need to have them protected to the measure and extent of the law to protect their children from harm's way in any form or fashion. So again, I think that that answer that I gave in question number one is twofold. That no, it's not in the best interest of the children. And Denise and Christopher, I think in this case, just like with perhaps a number of other parents, when they are looking at things so selfishly, because they're looking at things through the channels of their own emotional disturbances and the crises that have taken place in their own lives that have caused them to come to this point where they are, not feeling each other. And as a result, the children are caught in the middle of their pride and selfishness and anger and frustration with each other. So that is not a healthy situation. That is not a healthy environment. Those are not healthy circumstances either. So that's where that is. So now if you really want to look out in the best interest of the children, you really, in my opinion here, you really, truly need to decide, make a decision to say, well, you know what? I think what might be in the best interest of the children is maybe get a counseling session. Set up something, establish something whereas you can probably have someone give you an objective opinion on the visitation. I mean, the courts can even do that. Through mediation and so forth and so on, give the system an opportunity to work by trying to work with the system and see what you can come up with. I think that that would serve in the best interest of the kids when you can find a resolution, you know, an area that the children can benefit from. That becomes vitally important. So you may want to take a look at that. That's my opinion. You will want to take a look at that. To see how you can get that going. All right, once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. If you're just joining us tonight, the characters are Christopher and Denise, and we're talking about fatherhood after divorce. Fatherhood after divorce, what does that really mean? Fatherhood after divorce. That means you're still a father to some children or a child, and after the divorce, that means, and even if the mother didn't gain custody of children and it's the father, then it would be motherhood after divorce. But whichever parent is not present in the home after the divorce and the other parent has custody, primary custody of the children, then that's who we're referring to actually in this situation. So now, as we look at this, you know, fatherhood or motherhood after the divorce, that means because you're still that parent, you just may not be present in the home sleeping over at night, but you're still that child's parent, which means you still have an obligation to that child. You still have a responsibility to that child. And I believe, this is just my own personal view, my own personal thought, I believe God will hold you accountable and responsible for the actions of your child. I really believe that. The actions of your child, meaning certain things that could go wrong in the child's life, I believe that God will hold you accountable and responsible if you're not trying to do your part, make your contribution for that child to turn out to be a productive person in some way or another, to be a respectful person, to be a good citizen, to be void of crime. You know, God will hold you responsible for that. So, I mean, you know, life doesn't end because you may have ended the relationship with that child's parent. Life doesn't end, you know, because that after the divorce for the child. You know, as a matter of fact, life becomes even more challenging for the child, especially if the child is of age, like elementary age. I mean, if they're one or two, they may not feel it as bad. And, I mean, we don't know, but, you know, with the mother's not being there, I'm sure that the child, they don't have an understanding of it, but they'll feel some void of that bonding if that mother's not in the home. But as they get older, even with that father being gone, that can be a very devastating thing. We're going to get to question number three in just a moment. Question number three is, where do you see the problems going wrong with this couple when it comes to their children? Where do you see the problems going wrong? We'll get to that in a moment. But for now, I want to just go ahead and continue speaking to the issue of fatherhood or parenting after divorce. And that responsibility is a great responsibility. And, you know, children are only there for a season. They're only there for a season, meaning in certain cases, that father that's absent with tonight's broadcast, Fatherhood After Divorce, that father, you know, with the absence, is a situation where you're saying, hey, you know what? He needs to step up and say, you know what? In spite of what's going on, the lady, the child's mother and I, or the children's mother and I, were once madly in love, you know, or we had a situation that took place. If we weren't madly in love, we obviously got together, you know, even if it was on that one occasion. And it's been determined that that is your child. And even when you weren't prepared for that, you know, but you engaged in the act. And so my thought would be, you know what? Be a man about it. Step up to the role. Take responsibility and do what you need to do. Take responsibility and do what you need to do. And, you know, that season that the children are there, it is not a long season. It really isn't. It's not a long season. They, even the 18 years or the 20 years that you've got to put in a lot of time, you know, it's a sacrifice that you're supposed to render. It's a sacrifice that you're supposed to make because the child didn't ask to come here. You know, and you might say, well, neither did you. But you're here, you're an adult, and even if you're a young teenager, you know, over the age of 18, you're still considered an adult in most states by law. And so you're doing adult acts and performances. So now it's time to take on that adult responsibility. It's time to. And if parents of those of you that maybe have sons or daughters who in their late teens, 18, 19, 20, or early 20s or so forth, and you're still just putting forth most of the effort, I encourage you to take stock of what you're doing because you could be enabling your child to be just irresponsible as a parent, I think it's important that they need to know, hey, don't just put it all on the girl. That boy needs to have that baby some weekends and during the week and hear the cries and get up in the middle of the night. I mean, parenting is a tremendous responsibility, you know, that was, in my opinion, designed for both parents to do, to share the burden. And I hate to use the word burden. Let me take that back. To share the responsibility of growing up a child or children. And that's what it is. It's a great responsibility. It's needed. And unfortunately, statistics are showing that more single-family homes are on the uprise. More single-family homes are on the uprise. And so what needs to be done is we just need to have it where parents are now taking responsibility. And they're saying, hey, I need to do this for my child. you know, make that your priority. That's my suggestion. Make it your priority. As opposed to saying, well, you know what, I'm going to take on the matters of a new relationship, because you can easily get distracted when it comes to a new relationship. And you get, now here's another deviation from your being able to be involved with your kids. And I'm not saying that that's written in stone. I know that there are so many good parents out here from single-parent homes. I understand that. And there are a lot of parents who are fighting madly to be involved in their child or children's lives. I know that this is going on. So, you know, these are the things that we need to, you know, and we need to give credit where credit is due. So I think that that becomes very important. I think it becomes very important that we do these things to bring about some change, bring about something that's needed in their child's life. Now let's go ahead and take a look at question number 3. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, who's going to be joining us right about now, Ms. Audrey Blake. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you?
Oh, doing just great. How about yourself?
I'm great. Just coming from another engagement. I was listening in on the show, and it's a very interesting topic.
Yes, this is part 2, Fatherhood After Divorce, and we're talking once again about Christopher and Denise, you know, that couple that I've defined as being selfish and not necessarily looking at the best interest of the children. But while I've got you on here, and I gave what I thought my views on parenting after divorce or fatherhood, let me ask you this question, since we're dealing with the issue of fatherhood after divorce. How would you define fatherhood, the terminology of fatherhood after divorce? How would you identify or term that?
Well, I will say that a man who is the father of the children has a responsibility, a God-given responsibility, to take care of those children, and that is whether or not he is in love with that mother or not. That's neither here nor there, because those children don't ask to be born. Now, unfortunately, there have been women who have had to sort of take on a dual role of kind of trying to be both, and who some have done it quite well. But I just really want to emphasize that when a father is not in the home anymore, if he's not the custodial parent, he really still should be very involved and make every effort to look after those children's well-being.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because those were almost the verbatim words that I mentioned as well.
And
I know
Wow.
that you were traveling, and you did catch bits and pieces of the show, and I can appreciate that. So that goes to show, even from my male perspective, along with Ms. Blake's female perspective, that we're on one accord with the terminology or the definition of fatherhood after divorce. And, I mean, you couldn't say it any better. It's irregardless of whether or not the parents are in love anymore. It could have been a one-night stand, and he's come to find out that through DNA that is his child. Then he needs to step up. You're absolutely right. Step up, meet the responsibility, make those sacrifices, you know, because the child didn't ask to be born. And, you know, we say make the sacrifices. You are due to make those sacrifices for that child. You are responsible. You know, I would think that the states, you know, in the union, all of them would have a collective thing going, whereas they're enforcing this. It becomes enforced that once it's determined that you have a kid out here, I don't care if you're 19. You're 19 and you've gone out and you've done these adult acts, and in 19 you are an adult and you don't have a job, but that girl has the responsibility now of trying to find some way to feed this child. Then somewhere along the way, almost on a weekly basis, you need to be reporting to the courts or the system in some way, showing that you are taking care of this kid, not only financially, but you're there physically. What do you think about that, Ms. Blake?
Absolutely. I think that's the piece, the latter part is where some of the courts in the some states fail. It's just been my experience in talking with people and even personal experience that there's variation as far as monetary support from state to state. But I don't know of a lot of states, and I'm no expert, so if we have any attorneys listening, it would be awesome. But there is variability as far as states really enforcing that. But even more important is, like you say, spending time with that child, not just throwing money at it, at him or her, I'm sorry, not just taking care of the health care coverage and dental coverage. That child needs your time.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, also, and the burden shouldn't be placed, or I hate to use the word burden, but in this case, the stressors of all of this here should not just be placed on the mother because she had a child. It could be a young mother. She could be 18. But the thing, fact of the matter is, she's got to make schedule doctor appointments for the kid, and so he needs to be in on that. I mean, if she's got a job, they need to alternate this. Okay, I was here, or let's go together. Let's go together. I can assure you, when both parties are intricately involved like that, they will be very careful about having another child when they are not ready for it. But it also
Absolutely.
Makes them a responsible person. Yeah, they will be very careful. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
No, I was just agreeing with you, saying absolutely, because I think you were touching on it when I tuned in. Because unfortunately, some parents out there, when their children who have children or even young adults who have children, sometimes those grandparents try to take over and handle the responsibilities for them, which I don't think is a good idea at all, because they need to accept the responsibility. There's nothing wrong with guiding them, providing them some support in some way, but it's still their responsibility.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And I mentioned that earlier, and you're right, I did touch on it, because I talked about how those parents can enable their own children. They enabling them to be irresponsible. You know, if you're 19, 20, or in your early 20s, and your parents are taking care of this child that you've gone and you've had without being responsible, and you're still out there trying to live the party life, then your parents are helping you to become more irresponsible and meeting what should be your obligation, which should be what you're supposed to be doing. So that's not going to work out very wise for the children at all. I don't see that.
Yes, yes. And the other thing is, you know, fathers have such an awesome influence, a monumental influence in their sons' and their daughters' lives. I mean, there are adults walking around today that are seemingly permanently, but I don't think anything's not, can't be undone with a lot of therapy and prayer, but they're really, they have detrimental effects that they're walking around with because they did not have that father figure to support them, to set an example, or even if they did have a father, that person, they felt rejection and neglect from that father not visiting and being with them. So fathers out there, you have an awesome, monumental responsibility and power of influence over your children's lives.
I think that it couldn't be overemphasized enough how important the role of the father is in the home. You know, there's an expectation, of the mother is going to be there. There's always that expectation, and she's gonna do what she has to do. That's the makeup and strength of a woman. She's going to do what she has to do, whether that man is present or absent. She's going to take care of her child. That child came through her. She feels the bond, the connection, and whatever else goes along with that. So she's not going to leave that child out there, not a responsible mother. And so when that father, and, you know, I just can't see someone with a father that abandons their children. And I'm not here trying to browbeat any man or any woman for that matter, but it's talking about the best interest of the children. You know, it's denying self and looking out for your offspring that you went in and you took were supposed to have some responsibility for. That's what I'm talking about. This is the nature of it all. And so now when that, as I said, that mother's going to step up, she's going to do her part. But imagine how it would be, even if the parents are divorced and that father came by on a regular basis. You know, hey, I'm coming over to pick you up. I'm going to take you. We're going to just walk in the park today. We're going to talk. We're going to get your school supplies. You know, I think 3 to 4 times a week, you know, where he's coming through there, I think that that's good because he still has enough time where he's got some time that he can get some things done for his own personal life otherwise. And you know, this his child or children are a part of his life. So regardless
right.
of what's going on, this needs to always be, and I can't say fit in, but this needs to be one of the priorities. That needs to
Absolutely.
Be one of the priorities. You fit it in when you got to go see your friends. Right?
Right. Right.
You fit them in. You don't fit your kids in. You fit them in. You fit in certain things. Now, your job, of course, is also important because you need that job to make sure that you take care of the responsibility of your child or your children. But when it comes to your social life, you fit your social life in after your children. You don't fit them in before your social life. Give me your thoughts, Ms. Blaine.
Well, absolutely. In fact, you must have been in my head because I was thinking about single fathers or fathers who are not in the home with their children. You know, even when they're dating, they should be very careful who they have their children around. Children don't need to see a lot of different women in and out of their lives. Now, what they do with their lives is their business, but they should not expose the children. I mean, I know of divorce documents and people who've had divorces that it was stipulated not to have the children around other women because kids really need stability, particularly if you have some young kids. They don't need to see this kind of revolving door of women in their father's life.
And you're absolutely right. That becomes because that can also bring frustration and dissension among the children. They tend to lose their. They can even lose their own identity and wondering, you know, wow, who are these people that my father is bringing around? You know, and again, we're not male bashing here, but tonight's topic is fatherhood after divorce. And I wanted to say earlier, I just don't see how a man could have an expectation that God's going to bless him when he abandons his child. I just can't see that. You know, when you went out and you enjoyed the pleasure of having the child or just the act, even not knowing that the child would come along, and then once you are told that there's a child that is your child, and, of course, if there needs to be clear evidence of this through some testing, and then you don't put forth an effort. I don't care if you're 19, 18, or 17, and you can't. You've been out here, and you're not trying, and you're leaving it all to the responsibility of the mother, and even if her mother is helping her, there's just not going to be those blessings that you might expect to come. It's going to catch up with you down the road somewhere. It's going to catch up with you. You have got to take responsibility for your actions. You really do. Give me your thoughts, Ms. I mean, can they just let it be out there and let the kid, you know, end up how he may or she may?
Absolutely not. Dr. Walker, I have seen personally through the experiences of friends and others with the suffering that occurs later on and the misfortune that occurs later on in those individuals' lives who have neglected their children. And so, you know, even biblically, you know, we're admonished to take care of our children. So, again, children are a blessing from God, whether they were planned or unplanned. They're a blessing. And therefore, it is a God-given responsibility to take care of those blessings.
I fully agree with you. I mean, you know, we can't speak enough tonight on how important it is to take care of your children and take the responsibility of being that father even after divorce. I mean, that becomes so important. Fatherhood after divorce, it becomes so important. And I think that when we see it otherwise, when we do things otherwise, I think that that is just, I just feel that God is going to punish us some kind of way when we're not taking care of that responsibility, because it's not about the plants. It's not about the trees. It's not about trying to live an animal life where they don't do a lot of what we as Homo sapiens do. So it's about us, how we deal with each other, you know, how we have our relationship with God and then how we have our relationship with our fellow man, and even, you know, raising children to be respected individuals. You know, the Bible, as you said earlier, it admonishes us to train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he is older, he will not depart. And so that's part, in order to train the child, someone has to take responsibility to do so. And it's much better when you've got both parents being the decision makers in the primary years of their children and helping them to be trained to make their own decisions and become responsible. Give me your thoughts.
Well, Dr. Walker, I just really wanted to, I agree, and I want to talk to the mothers out there, because I was a single mom and raised two sons to adulthood. But moms out there, it's very important not to take out your emotional feelings out by withholding visitation or stopping the father from being involved in the children's lives. I think that I've seen that happen. I've not personally done that, but I've seen it happen where moms, because they are mad at the father, maybe even hurt because of a betrayal or something, they don't want those children to see their father. And those moms are just as guilty of hurting those children as a father who does not put forth the effort.
I'm so happy that you said that, because I touched on that a little earlier at the opening of tonight's broadcast. And I'm glad that you went in to reiterate some of that, because they are equally responsible. And so they're just as bad as that father who's not even coming forth. So when she's trying to hold them, like in the case with the story tonight, Denise and Christopher, you know, she was punishing the man because of her anger, her frustration with how the relationship transpired, as opposed to opening up the door and allowing him to see his child, or his children in this case, which now it could be shifted from them thinking that they are responsible for the parents' breakup. And children need to be talked to, and they need to be educated on what may have, you know, the relationship didn't work out, but it doesn't mean that they caused that separation. Doesn't mean that it's their fault, and it doesn't mean that the parents don't love them. They need to reemphasize over and over, as long as it takes, to let the children know how much they are loved by both parents. And certainly I mentioned earlier how, in the case with Denise and Christopher, how he's she's demeaning the father, you know, saying all sorts of derogatory things about him, you know, to the children. I think that can be damaging and hurtful. And I think that when you have it that way, it's devastating.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I think I talked about on the show last week, that those issues are between the parents, but those children still have their identity with their parents. So when you're putting that other parent down, you're really messing with your child's identity.
You sure are. You're messing with that child's identity through their own mindset, because
right
now you're tearing at that other parent, and now the child, he feels that almost as just as a parent feels when you're talking about their child, you know. But that child feels this, that, oh, mom says he's no good, or dad, you know, starts saying names and horrible names about her. that's not going to fly very well, because they,
right.
they become offended in their little worlds. So that's not a good thing. Let's take a look at question number three here, which we may have already answered in question number three. The question was asking, where do you see the problems going wrong with this couple when it comes to their children? And I think we addressed a great deal of that, that the parents are looking at it from a selfish perspective instead of a unison or unified perspective to look at the best interest of the children. So let me just take a look at number four here. If the children are confused now, this is the question, our final question in this, in our opening story. If you think the children are confused now, do you think this is likely to affect them later in life if things don't change? Ms. Blake, I'll let you take that.
Oh, yes. It will definitely have an effect. As I said, there are lots of adults walking around right now that have been impacted by some of these negative types of parental relationships. And so for the sake of the children, these parents really need to regroup. They really need to just kind of start fresh in how they're treating each other. And if we have some listeners out there who may be experiencing this and you just don't know how, every time you see that parent, you just start arguing, just try some kindness and try some humility. Just put your feelings and frustrations aside for the sake of the children. I'm not asking you to be fake or phony, but just override and be the bigger person, because you have children who are more important than your differences.
I couldn't agree with you more. It becomes so important. And I agree with you. Children can have some problems later down the road if they're having some confusion now. Those parents have got to make some changes. So, parents, if you're listening to our program tonight and your situation may be very similar to what has been presented this evening, I strongly encourage you, we strongly encourage you to go out and rethink this thing and see how you can make, I mean, not you're not able to make anyone do anything, but see how you can make some changes in your own life to say, well, you know what, where I was being selfish and thinking about my own anger and foolishness, let me give that other parent the opportunity to be involved in their child's life. You know, that's a challenge. And again, I say, as long as that parent is not abusive to the children, and if, even if it requires some initial supervised visitations, then do whatever is needed to get that parent, you know, to work together with each other for the best interest of your child or your children. Anything else that you can tell our listening audience tonight before I go into the food for thought?
I just think that, again, a lot of times parents don't know how to start that conversation. They're just so used to being argumentative. But think kindness. And think back to when you first met that person, even if it was a one-night stand, then the attraction. Because even if it was a one-night stand, that conversation started off nicely. So go back to that place and be kind to that person. And I think you'll see a difference, because once you start reacting kindly to that person may reciprocate the kindness.
Well, I think that that becomes so important. And then even sort of in sort of even another way, if the one person, I remember a comment that came in on this issue on last week, and the young lady mentioned how she was glad that her ex-husband was persistent about being involved in the child's life, and despite in spite of the fact that she had different views, you know, she was trying to keep the child away from him. She appreciated later his persistency, his desire to push through this and do whatever it took within reason and through the courts to be involved in his child's life. And later she found that this turned out to be the best thing, and she admired him later for it. So chances are they established a civil relationship where they could communicate in the best interest for that for their child. And so this worked out. So those of you all, just like what Ms. Blake was saying, you know, there's that one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of it is, if you need to persist, if you need to persist and say, you know what, this is my child, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do, you know, to be involved in that child's life, you know, irregardless of what that other parent may be thinking or saying, then you prove yourself worthy of stepping up to the plate. And if you got to go through the courts, I'm certain that the courts will support you with wanting to be involved in that child's life. Don't you think so, Ms. Blake?
Absolutely.
So there you have it. They so you've got the support out there. Everything that you're going to need is right out there. And so the rest is just left up to that parent. So I trust that you all have really gotten something from tonight's broadcast, and I've certainly had joy and pleasure in bringing it to you this evening. And as always, I want you to be able to tell a friend about it. And just for the next 30 seconds, Ms. Blake, tell them how they can get in touch with your book and the name of your book.
The name of the book is Falling in Love with Me, M.E. stands for Mutual Enhancement, Key to Healthy, Fulfilling Relationships. Just go to my website at fosteringleaders.org or Google the book, Falling in Love with Me. It's about relationships and also learning how to love yourself.
Okay. On that note, I'm going to get ready to go into a very brief food for thought this evening. You know, Ms. Blake, it's always a pleasure having you join me over the air to bring
these
shows. Thank you. Thank you for that. And even when you're filling in for me when I'm having to travel from time to time, let me tell you something. I have been going so much this summer that I am definitely exhausted. I mean, just almost like out of it. So
wow.
I really appreciate what you bring to the table.
Well, thank you.
All right, we're going to get ready. We're going to ask our listening audience to stand by as I prepare to bring the show to a close. We're going to go ahead and I thank my co-host, Ms. Blake, for being on tonight's broadcast with me. As I mentioned to you all earlier, that I probably would stay with most of the show tonight and not be able to take any calls because I thought that that topic was so important that I really wanted to just do a thorough presentation along with my co-host. So once again, the opinions expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed in my food for thought are merely those of my own, and like those of my guests or other participants, should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate license, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information once again presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. When it comes to tonight's topic, Fatherhood After Divorce, Part 2, fatherhood should not end after divorce. In fact, it should step up a level or two, because this is really the time when your child needs to know that it's not his or her fault and that you are really there for him or her. I'm convinced that derogatory comments from a mother about a child's father cannot help the situation, but may end up doing more damage. If you think about it, the offensive language about even coming from the other parent, in my opinion, I think can bring a significant amount of damage to an already troubled youth. Divorce in and of itself is difficult and perhaps adds more trauma to young children when they have no clue of why the parents separated or are no longer together. Question is, if you could take your child's place after divorce, would you want that parent to abandon you? You may want to think seriously about this one. In the meantime, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and that's simply been my opinion. I trust you've enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did, and please tune in this Friday and every Friday from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday's inspirational program, please remember to tune in next. What our topic will be is going to be an open mic, but we'll follow me at drjessewalk.com for next week's topic. Please tune in because you really don't want to miss next week's show. Remember, you must be 18 or older to do so. Until next Tuesday or until Friday, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.